Glad to see you all here today. Glad that we can gather together, look at God's Word as it applies to the world and everything in it. Obviously, holiday weekend, some faces that are normally here or are absent, but we are here and glad that we can consider the things that we're going to. Like to welcome Jan Spain here. Jan, I was trying to remember where you live now. Baltimore, okay. Jan and her husband Gail were members here years ago. Gail was one of our deacons, and he with the Lord now, but we are glad to stay in touch with Jan and have you here whenever you can visit. So welcome. Yeah. Well, did everyone get the handout? If you'll look on the second page, you'll see the lyrics to our hymn for this morning, Take My Life and Let It Be. And this is obviously a prayer, and this will be our opening prayer this morning. So, Miss Jenny, if you will do the honors for us. Well, as we know, this is Memorial Day weekend when we remember and honor those who have given their lives in defense of our country and the freedoms and the way of life that we enjoy. And we should not take this lightly. And I know that we in this church and in our community, because it's so heavily military, we don't take this lightly. I mean, we have family and friends who at this moment are deployed in defense of our freedom. But as a nation, I don't think most people truly appreciate the sacrifices that have been made so that we can live the way that we do. I saw a historical piece this week and thought it would be an appropriate thing to bring to your attention this weekend. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of a historian named William Federer. He published a number of books, has TV programs that he does, but he also produces a daily email that I would encourage you to subscribe to called the American Minute. And every day he sends this out regarding something that happened on that particular day, and then he relates it, either explaining what happened or relates it to some current situation. And his post on Wednesday was about Anthony Wayne. He was known as General Mad Anthony Wayne in the American Revolution. Anyone remember studying Anthony Wayne when you studied the Revolutionary War? Mad Anthony Wayne. He was a key hero in a number of battles and things related to the American Revolution. There are many cities in the United States named for Anthony Wayne, probably most of the cities that have Wayne in them, including Waynesville, North Carolina, were named for Mad Anthony Wayne. And kind of interesting, too, some of our cultural icons and heroes have names related to Anthony Wayne. Anyone a Batman fan? All right, what is Batman's alter ego? What's his sort of civilian name? Bruce Wayne. Well, that cartoon started back in the 1930s, and this email sort of showed a clip from one of the original comics where Batman talks about taking on that name because he admired Anthony Wayne so much. And think about movie stars. what movie star sort of embodies America, military, cowboys. Come on now. John Wayne. Well, John Wayne wasn't born John Wayne. I wish Keith were here. His given name when he was born was Marion Morrison. But when he was starting to become a famous Hollywood star, like so many of the stars do, they have to take on, you know, some other name. And his director said, how about Anthony Wayne? And they finally decided on John Wayne. But, I mean, that just gives you an idea, particularly going back, you know, 90 years now, how and in what regard Mad Anthony Wayne was held because of what he did during the American Revolution. And part of what this email was, and the thing that I wanted to share, related to his heroism in 1779. There was a key point on the Hudson River called Stony Point, which is a little bit south of West Point. And it's a promontory that sticks out into the river, and the British had captured Stony Point. And General Washington knew that for a number of reasons they needed to recapture that garrison. And so he called General Wayne and asked if he could capture the fort. And General Wayne answered, issue the order, sir, and I will storm hell. So he was given that mission, and he planned sort of a special forces type mission. It was going to be a bayonet charge in the middle of the night. The soldiers were forbidden to fire their weapons. It was going to be a surprise attack. And the mission was a success. And in relaying the victory to General Washington, General Wayne wrote, "The fort and garrison are ours. Our officers and men." Our officers and men behaved like men who were determined to be free. Sorry for getting emotional. Our officers and men behaved like men who were determined to be free. And that's what struck me and what I wanted to share. Because it's no accident that so many things in Scripture are related to military tactics and terminology and situations. In the presentation that we'll have, hopefully the technology will work today, the speaker will talk about Ephesians 6. But there's so many others. One of our key verses for this series, again, we've read it just about every week, is from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, talking about we're not waging war according to the flesh. And these issues that we've been talking about in this series are terribly controversial issues, but they're issues that are out there, and we're having to deal with them every day, and it's accelerating. And the bottom line is, and he'll emphasize this today, is that this is a spiritual battle. I mean, these are politically related, and they're philosophical, and they're issues that we need to understand and think through. But the bottom line is that they're spiritual issues. I was out walking one day this week and listening to Bible on recorded, and listened to both books of Timothy. Is there anybody named Timothy in the room here? Would you read those two verses for us from 1 and 2 Timothy?
Those who indeed guard the deposit entrusted to you by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us guard the good deposit entrusted to you.
All right, so guard the deposit entrusted to you. So, first, what is the deposit entrusted to us? What has been entrusted to us? Excuse me?
The gospel.
True. I mean, that's the bottom line. But as it relates to these issues that we have been discussing, how would you kind of expand that? I mean, in an answer, that's it, in a word. So that's what has been entrusted to us. So how do we guard it? Why do we need to guard it? And how do we guard it? All right, military guys, speak up.
The truth is constantly under attack, and so it's important for us to memorize it, learn it, and share it with others to be able to get it.
So it's under attack. There you go.
It shouldn't be suppressed.
Get it on.
Okay.
Tap anything.
No, I've got to get the password.
Oh, it's yours. Your screen. Time down.
All right. So, I mean, what you said is true, and that's how we guard it within ourselves, is to, like, reinforce it and recognize that it's under attack and that it needs to be protected.
Back up to Romans 1, what you have here. The truth should not be suppressed in unrighteousness. Suppressing the truth is not good.
Well, that's part of the overall discussion that we've been having, is that so many of these things are the result of truth being suppressed. And that kind of relates to a thing I've been doing for several weeks now that I've been calling the Emperor Has No Clothes report. And you weren't here, but a couple of weeks ago we talked about the story of the Emperor Has No Clothes. And with the transgender issue and a lot of these other issues where the truth is being suppressed, the truth is there. It's obvious. But in the story, all the people were told that if you don't recognize this beautiful cloth, it means that you're ignorant and incompetent in your job. So nobody wanted to admit what they saw. They went along with the lie. And so as we look out and see so many of these issues that are just accelerating, it's remarkable. So real quickly here, I'll give you today's Emperor Has No Clothes report. And this is not all of them. This is just a few to show you. And these are all from this week. So the first one is State Farm, the insurance agency, launches a program to distribute LGBTQ books to kindergartners in Florida. State Farm, the household name in insurance company, has launched a program that would enlist hundreds of staff volunteers across the country to deliver these LGBTQ-themed books to teachers, community centers, and libraries, explicitly targeting children as young as kindergarten. In collaboration with a project called Gender Cool Project, State Farm aims to, quote, help diversify classroom, community center, and library bookshelves with a collection of books to help bring clarity and understanding to the national conversation about being transgender, inclusive, and non-binary. And it gives an explanation of this organization and so on. But, again, to give you a sense of how widespread this all is, it says, beyond State Farm, Gender Cool enlists other major American companies as its partners and supporters, including Dell, Intuit, Nike, NBC Universal, Adobe, General Mills, Capital One, Intel, Indeed, Hewlett-Packard, Bank of America, Bayer, Sprout Social, Prudential, Oracle, USDA, several others. That's just one issue. Another item. San Francisco schools to eliminate the word chief from job titles in response to community concerns. The school district in San Francisco saying that the word chief can be offensive to Native Americans, so they're not going to use that word chief when talking about their like CEO and other positions. But it says they're still finalizing an alternative to the title chief. And this is on top of a recommendation that was made a couple of years ago to remove Abraham Lincoln's name from Abraham Lincoln High School on 24th Avenue because of the 16th president's past treatment of Native Americans. And also in 2019, the board voted to cover up a big mural at George Washington High School called The Life of Washington after critics called the work demeaning and upsetting because of its depictions of slavery and Native Americans. Also this week, Fairfax Public Schools. Fairfax is in Northern Virginia near D.C. The school board of Fairfax County Public Schools is reviewing updated rules that could potentially expose students to suspension or expulsion for malicious misgendering their peers based on frequency and intensity. And it talks about two things that kids could now potentially be expelled for or suspended: malicious misgendering and dead naming. And what do you think malicious misgendering is?
Say identifying them in a gender that's contrary to what they identify themselves.
Right.
In a derogatory way, like thinking about them for saying that they are what they are.
And what about dead naming? If you were named John when you were born, but you decided that now you're Susie, if someone calls you John instead of Susie, that's called dead naming. Right. And then one that hits a little closer to home. The Army is proposing a plan where soldiers can request a change in their base or reassignment, or request a reassignment if they feel discriminated by local or state laws based on sex, religion, race, or gender. The Army, for a number of years, has had a policy called compassionate reassignment. And, you know, it's basically a good thing. I mean, there are situations we had someone here at our church a number of years ago whose wife died, and he had a couple of girls, young girls, and requested a compassionate reassignment because there was family nearby to help care for the children. It's compassionate reassignment. But now, and this mentions particularly the potential of Roe versus Wade being reversed, meaning that there would be states in which abortion may be prohibited, and then also relating to interpretations of gender. If this policy is adopted and you're going to be reassigned to some terrible state like Texas or Florida or somewhere, and you don't want to have to live in a state that has such terrible laws, you can request a compassionate reassignment for those reasons. So these are the issues that are out there that are affecting comment?
No, I said them all early.
These are the issues that are out there. So we need to know what's happening. We need to understand how the truth of God's word applies to these things, and then guard that which has been entrusted to us. Any comments before we move on here? Well, what I want to do here now is to show about half of a presentation on the back of the handout. There is a little bit of information about this speaker. His name is John Harris. He's obviously a young guy. He attended Liberty University and Southeastern Baptist Seminary. And particularly, mainly while he was at the seminary, was just really appalled at the infusion he saw within the seminary of a lot of these woke policies that we've been discussing. And so he started calling attention to it, basically just from scratch, started a podcast. And over several years, this has really grown. When he did this, he started hearing from Christians, professors in schools all around the country saying, what you're saying is absolutely correct. You know, we're having all these chapel services where people are being brought in that espouse these ideas. Classes are being taught. Policies are being put in place. And they're afraid to say anything because they might lose their jobs. But he has sort of taken this on as a mission to expose this, and he's written a couple of books about it. I think he is, especially considering how young he is a very astute observer of what's going on and has a very good way of condensing it down in comparing it to Christian truth. And so, Lord willing, today and next week, which is our last lesson, we'll watch this. This topic is on social justice. The title is Social Justice versus Biblical Justice. So we'll watch as much of this as we can. This first part is sort of the historical progression of how we got to this point. And particularly the part that we'll watch next week is more of a commentary and explanation of how these principles, how we're seeing them out in society now. So with that, we'll watch, like I say, about half of this presentation. We'll pick up here next week. I know there's a lot of information, and that was kind of a very broad sweep of historical background, but I think it was a very good and thorough explanation of where we are. And when we pick this up next week, he'll get into more current examples of how these philosophies are playing out specifically. But a couple of minutes here, any thoughts on what you saw, what he said?
I guess my
show some good things in the life of the living, but, you know, our hope in being redeemed by our Creator is, you know, one area where we can have constant joy. Despite all the noise and the trauma and stuff, you know, the latest things that are happening in the world.
Amen. Carolyn, were you going to say something? Okay. Well, you make a good point because I know, I mean, the whole purpose of this series was to deal with controversial issues, you know, and bad stuff that we're seeing out there. And it is pervasive and it is intensifying. And the whole reason we're doing this is so that we will be more aware, we'll be more discerning, particularly young people who are going to be dealing with this to a larger degree in ways that, you know, we who are older won't. But that's not the whole picture, like you point out. There's a lot of goodness. And I think our challenge is to be discerning and to be able to separate out the good from the bad. And in the process of that, I think it will develop. I mean, if, you know, if we do this properly, it will strengthen our faith. It will help us to see, you know, God's goodness and that He really does win in the end. But in the meantime, we are called to live here, to be strengthened in our own faith, to guard that which has been entrusted to us, and to try to help instill that in others who may not be as far along in the process as we are. Okay, well, we'll conclude for today and look forward to our last session in this series next week where we'll watch the rest of this presentation. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you that we can be here to consider these issues, but to do it in the context of your truth, which you have so graciously given us. We pray now that you would go with us as we go into our time of worship, and that you would be present and honored. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.